periodic reports. On some occasions, management entrusts you with a task that requires a few months to complete. Naturally, it expects a report from you as to how the task will be completed by you. The report contains different stages which the job will be taken to completion, funds required at each stage and time schedule for complete. That means it contains different stages through which the job will be taken to completion, funds required. That means, for example, you have a task to be completed. Various stages to the task. How much funds will be needed? For example, you want to launch a product in the market. How much in terms of funds do you need for marketing activities? How much is required for a 1-minute advertisement on television? How much ideally can you afford to spend if you want to hire an ambassador for your product? If it's a third-tier celebrity or a first-tier celebrity, whom can you hire? So you are talking of the funds at various stages. Once a project is approved, it is necessary to report progress to your supervisor at determined intervals, at regular points of time. These days, most managers are too busy to receive periodic status updates, unless updates are significant. If not much has happened since the last time you have provided a status report, it's best not to spend too much time preparing and giving one. I guess everybody is busy, lots of work. So periodic reports may not ideally serve the purpose. Maybe a few minutes of discussion, effective communication, where is it at a standstill, if at all, why is it at a standstill, or is they appropriate in terms of progress. A simple NTR, nothing to report, is enough so that the manager is certain you are on the job. This is assuming you are on schedule against a completion date. If there is nothing to report because you have not completed what needed to be done, then you do need to provide a full report as to the reasons why are you delaying the work. So do not give statuses for the sake of giving them. Give them when it's needed. If your boss insists that you provide a status on a periodic basis, follow the rule above. Status means where is the project as of now? What is going on as of now, as of today? So if this is done at regular intervals, if required, fair enough. If this is not done at regular intervals, fair enough. But we need to understand that if they prefer you giving them an update as far as status is concerned, then it definitely will be effective. Another periodic, usually annual report you're required to prepare is on the performance of employees working under your supervision. When you do performance of employees, ideally, are they performing better as time goes by? Are they achieving the targets as time goes by? Are they contributing effectively in terms of success to an organization? Are they dedicated and committed to your organization? That is most important. This appraisal report is in a format prepared in advance by a human resource department. Here, your report on productivity, attendance, behavior of the employees during the period under review. All this is looked into. Sometimes you are also asked to recommend how employees or an employee is to be rewarded when performance is above normal, and how employee or an employee is to be disciplined if performance is not up to your satisfaction. For example, provide him a laptop if you feel that okay, his work has been more than expected, or probably if the person has just not contributed, then ideally what can be done so that he reaches that level in terms of our expectations. You may want to ask for a raise for yourself or one of your employees. You may need additional resources, money, staff, authority, access to information. When it comes to resources, manpower, funds, a raise probably in terms of the package and remuneration, better or conducive environment, better people, that means people who are skilled. Better people is probably inappropriate. People who are skilled on certain fronts. So manpower. to complete your project. This is perhaps the most difficult area of upward communication, to ask your manager for something. It depends how you ask. Very often it is said that if you wish to convince somebody or if you wish to ask for something, it should be put forward in a manner whereby you are convincing the person or saying it to the person the way he or she expects to hear you out. To ask your manager for something, some people prefer to skip the exercise altogether and live with the consequences of not asking. We suggest if there is an opportunity, you must ask. We suggest if there's an opportunity, you have to have a skill in terms of the way you wish to ask. Or you live with the consequences of not asking and not getting what you want. It is a choice you make. It is better to ask and hear a no than to not ask at all. Yes, that confidence in terms of how you ask, reasons enough as to why you're asking, and the convincing ability, the persuasive appeals. If all these three are there, it should not be an issue. Now, asking for something, prepare what you're going to say frankly and sincerely. That means it should be very crisp and direct. Describe with clarity what you need. Is it a promotion, a housing loan, or some break to pursue studies? Being to the point. Describe why you need it. Is it for personal reasons, for your family, or career development? Describe the consequences of not getting it. This has to be handled delicately. If you're not promoted, you may wish to quit the job. If you ideally feel that, can you be open about this? We would suggest your choice. But certainly you cannot say so openly. Maybe you want to just hint at it. Again, it's individual stick, it's your choice. Describe the cost, both one time and ongoing, in details available with you. Have a breakup as far as the cost is concerned. You want to take a loan. What is your short-term plan? What is your long-term plan? How much of a loan in terms of the amount? So when we talk of upward communication, reporting problems, concerns, complaints, this seems straightforward. But there are potential pitfalls about reporting problems. What do you think are the shortcomings out here? To describe problems in detail and skip providing any possible solutions. If you have solutions, whether they're accepted or not, it would make sense to give those solutions. To report the problem to other than your supervisor, especially when you get excited by what you wish to report. You're more keen on giving information due to your inherent nature of being a gossip. You're more keen on giving some information in terms of a report because you wish to ideally get to, information which ideally people are not really having. This creates went around his or her boss, right? So what are we doing out here? That we try to get information or give information which would make it more, in terms of grapevine, that means a rumor, gossip. You want ideally to have something to discuss, something which would probably give you that excitement in terms of information. Floating suggestions and ideas. Lots of people have great ideas, but few get to see their ideas accepted and implemented. Now, this is a challenge. What we suggest is always focus on giving ideas, whether they're accepted or not. Leave that aside. Focus on giving unique ideas, being innovative and exceptional. Most organizational cultures don't welcome change. And even when the culture fosters innovation, people as individuals resist change. I guess it is human nature. To up the odds of your idea getting considered by your manager, make sure that you describe how the solution will benefit the company. That means, is your solution highly beneficial to the organization? Is your solution bringing about a shift as far as the problem is concerned? So, we continue with upward communication. Then we discuss floating suggestions and ideas. How the proposed solution is more cost effective than the existing solution. Any organization will focus on cost cutting. So when you talk of any solution which is cost effective, say for example, you're into exports of garments. You realize that you have people working in one shift from morning 8 to night 8. You are now into exports. So first you were at a domestic level, now you're into exports. You realize that the demand for the garments is increasing. So what do? You have ideally your immediate subordinate who says that instead of taking one more machine and spending on that machine, which is ideally an expensive machine, why not hire more people who will work in the second shift from night 8 to morning 8? Why? So that you are ideally saving on purchasing a machine. And when you talk of labor, it is definitely more reasonable than buying another machine. So we're looking into cost cutting. If possible, attach cost calculations to support your claim. When you attach the cost calculations to support your claim, definitely there will or should be a positive outcome. The likelihood of a successful transition from the existing solution to the new one. Here you can also add stages by which the change can be brought about. So a change which may not be implemented immediately but in gradual phases, so that the company doesn't feel that immediately they are going through a shift or a change. How to pull it off with the least amount of pain during the transition? When I say how to pull it with the least amount of pain during the transition, any change immediately may not be acceptable to the people. Any change may take time to adapt to. So when we talk of a change, bringing about the change very gradually. Include a plan B should the solution does not work as planned. Alright, we continue with floating suggestions and ideas. How a proposed solution is more cost effective than the existing solution. If possible, attach cost calculations to support your claim. Say you're into manufacturing of garments. You have a factory. You realize that gradually you're doing well and you get into exports. Now, till you were supplying garments at on the domestic front, you were having people working from morning 8 to night 8 in your factory. Now, you're wanting to get into exports, which you do. How do you deal with the increased sales? Do you ideally purchase some sort or invest in some sort of machinery, or do you realize that it is effective and cost effective to hire more people in terms of manpower? So what is the advantage and where can you invest? You realize that yes, manpower is affordable and cost effective. So when we talk ideally of a solution, any solution in terms of cost has to be effective and beneficial to the organization. Ultimately, it's all about maximizing profits. The likelihood of a successful transition from the existing solution to the new one. Here also you can add stages by which you can change the aspect. So by which the change can be brought about. How to pull it off with the least amount of pain during transition. When there's a change, nobody ideally should feel that pinch in terms of a change. It takes some time to adapt to a change. So the change should be in phases. Include a plan B if the solution does not work as planned. Have a backup for any of the aspects. It is necessary to have a backup. Floating suggestions and ideas, we continue with it. Most progressive companies operate an approved suggestion scheme to welcome such communication from employees and reap harvest from the ideas born out of their long first-hand experience. Very often companies now do give the leverage and benefit to their employees. They do feel that the ideas can be effective. They're willing to accept their ideas. You may have a company format in which you communicate your ideas and become eligible for financial award if they get implemented. So there could be a format as to various questions asked whereby you put forward your ideas based on that question. question or those questions. And that ideally would be an incentive for you, since you feel that, okay, if you are selected, you probably will get a financial award. Upward communication, what are the advantages? It definitely fosters friendly relations. It's like breaking the ice, especially if you're nervous as a subordinate, if you have that fear, if you feel you have effective ideas, but you find it difficult to put it forward, if you feel the lack of confidence, but you say, now I'm going to take this opportunity. So fosters friendly relations, provides valuable feedback. Your person at top management or the people at top management would give you feedback, would let you know hopefully what they think of the solutions given by you, and if they can be implemented or not, time will say, or probably they would voice their opinion there. Encourages participation, thus it is a two-way process. Suggestions are always welcome. And introducing new projects, probably you would have your ideas, ways and means to see to it, how can the project be implemented effectively. And it will raise the morale. The moment there is two-way communication, it will definitely have an impact on an employee. To conclude, we can summarize the advantages of upward communication. It fosters friendly relations among the work groups. Upward communication helps to bring cooperation, goodwill, and understanding amongst employers and employees. This stimulates friendly relations. So it actually creates a conducive environment for people to work. It creates an environment whereby people are in harmony. And when there is harmony, there is stability and commitment and dedication towards the long-term objectives and goals. Provides valuable feedback. Superiors come to know how their plans, policies, orders, and instructions are being received and how do they execute it. Right? Because when a superior or person at top management is giving you an idea based on a plan, how do you receive it and then go ahead with it? That means your views based on what the person has at top management mentioned to you. Okay, encourages participation, it's understood. By encouraging employees to make suggestions, it helps to bring the element of participative management. Two-way process, seniors get a chance to respond to positive feedback received from the lower rungs of organizational hierarchy. When you say seniors get a chance to respond to positive feedback, when we're talking, ideally people at who are subordinates or at the lower levels, they voice their views. People at top management can give their feedback. Upward communication is a part of two-way process which promotes better understanding between management and employees. It ideally means that if there's effective upward communication, a lot of issues can be resolved. It paves way for valuable suggestions that can add to company's profits. This all leads to profits. We're creating an atmosphere which is positive. We're creating an atmosphere whereby there's a rapport between top management and subordinates. We're creating an atmosphere for the betterment of the working of the people. We're creating conditions which are effective for one and all in the organization. The employees are encouraged to make suggestions, and when suggestions prove useful, employees are rewarded. Incentives, monetary incentives, non-monetary incentives, financial awards, rewards, all these will motivate people to work better in the long run. Also, during the time of crisis, if there are people who have probably been through and with the company, especially when they've got rewards, awards, incentives, during crisis, they will have a commitment to the organization to see to it that they go through this too. That means they probably will put in the same amount of effort because of the level of commitment to the work which they see through the people at top management too. Introducing new projects creates a healthy relationship between the management and employees to introduce new schemes or projects to transform the organization. Metamorphism. What is metamorphism? Change. Change is one of the most crucial aspects for any organization. So that's what we are saying here, that there will be lesser resistance to change. Employee morale is boosted as employer-employee relations are improved. What are the disadvantages? Very important, employees rarely initiate upward communication. You resist. Why do you resist? Probably you feel your ideas and views will not be heard. Probably you feel that your ideas and views may not be up to the mark since you're talking to a person at senior level. Various aspects. Such communication often meets with improper recognition, so they hesitate to initiate. They feel the ideas and views will not be recognized. The organization needs to sensitize its supervisors to encourage upward communication. Somewhere that level of sensitivity should be there, that at least hear the ideas out. Depending on what kind of an individual you are, do you feel the need to react, respond, or do you feel it will be fine and absolutely perfect if you do not really communicate at that juncture and say you will think it over? Fear of incompetence. Subordinates communicating upwards and opening ways to improve performance sometimes result in superiors fearing that their managers may regard it as a reflection on their own competence, or rather incompetence. See, if you give a chance to a subordinate to probably express his ideas and views which are very, very effective, somewhere it could make one feel insecure or stressed that how come his subordinate is having such effective ideas. So even if supervisors are given that kind of training to ideally be sensitive to the subordinates, supervisors at times too, since we all are humans, may have that insecurity and may not be willing to let that person express his ideas or views. Indecisive superiors. If the superiors do not take any decisions in the light of upward communication, the employees lose confidence in their superiors. This can have a negative impact on employee morale. Yes. See, if you're a subordinate, if your immediate boss is not effective with decision-making skills, you will pick that up too. Just the way your immediate boss may be highly assertive, firm, highly skilled in terms of work, highly efficient in terms of completing work on time, you should pick up those traits. In that same way, if the person is vice versa, you will pick up the negative traits too. Especially if you see that the person at top management, your immediate boss, is not effective with decision making, a lot of chances of you behaving and becoming like that. Message not heard, or messages not heard. Often messages do not travel upwards. They merely rest with the inactive or indifferent superior. Some managers are poor listeners. Some simply hear messages without taking any action. Hear, that means actually what is hearing? You take in, you retain, and you can repeat. That's actually what hearing is. But in this case, we have it in quotes. That means hearing at a superficial level, not really absorbing what you're saying. This defeats the whole purpose of such communication. So you're communicating, you may be there, the person may just keep nodding his head, not take interest in what you're saying, and continue. What are the disadvantages? Unwillingness to admit failure. Many employees in lower hierarchy are insecure about their jobs and uncertain about future prospects. Therefore, feel unwilling to discuss their on-the-job problems with the superiors. The fear of discussing can be an issue. This factor limits flow and volume of upward communication. So you do not really want to share, which you can and should, but you do not. Because somewhere you ideally are not having the kind of confidence to share a lot which you should. Since you're talking about being uncertain about future prospects. So you would feel, oh, if I share this with the person at top management, how will he react? He may feel I'm insecure. I'm already feeling like a failure. If I share this, won't it become an issue and he might share it with everybody? So It's all about how you are as an individual. In today's information age, communication is multi-directional and purposeful. It goes anywhere and goes where it is needed. It can go in various directions to various people. We're living in a tech-savvy age. Information can go from one to all. Lateral communication is defined as exchange, imparting or sharing information, ideas or feelings between people within a community, peer groups or units of an organization who are at the same hierarchical level. Horizontal communication or lateral communication, communication between people of equal status. You have the production manager, finance manager. Both are managers, but they ideally are in different departments. So communication between people of equal status or rank, that means designation. When ideally you talk of hierarchical level, as each other for the purpose of coordinating activities, fulfilling a common purpose or goal. So the production manager and marketing manager, they interact, coordinate activities, but they both are at the same level being managers. So communication between the two. So more to do with coordinating and fulfilling a purpose or goal. This communication helps to promote teamwork, facilitates coordinated group effort within a group or organization. The production manager will work effectively with the production team. The marketing manager will work effectively with the marketing team. Both communicate with each other. Probably it's more about problem solving, discussing issues, how to see to it the effective results as far as work is concerned in their respective teams. So that's what needs to be done. It is usually less structured and informal compared to vertical communication. This is true if the communication is coming from or going to upper management or from the group down to end consumers, right? So when we're talking of less structured, where would ideally this be? So communication is coming from or going to upper management from or from the group down to consumers. So depending, of course, who and where. This communication may take place as telephone calls, emails, memo, which is a form of communication within an organization, letters, informal discussion, gossip, teleconferencing, video conferencing, audio video conferencing, right? Second Life conferencing and meetings. Lateral communication is the grease that makes the machinery of a business operate smoothly. If two people at the same level in terms of status and rank do not get along, then everything else can go haywire. That is why they say machinery of a business operates smoothly. If horizontal communication is effective, the potential to improve and grow is high and definitely there. In one study in the US, it was found that how the members of a group get and deal with information can affect the performance of the group as a whole. It is true. Even if one person is sharing information with you right now, how is the person putting it forward? What exactly is put forward? Is it put forward in a manner whereby you'd like to hear, or is it put forward in an inappropriate manner? Is it in a logical order? Is it put forward effectively? All those aspects will matter. Within any organization, there are differences in the way groups or departments within that organization communicate. The more complex the organization, group, or even community, the more scope for difference. If there are departments, sub-departments, it can create complexity. Because too many people, too many departments, too much communication, too much of interaction, so it can create a complex situation. In any IT companies, there's strategists, managers, programmers, developers, client owners, secretaries, mail runners, office boys, lift operators, cleaners, and more. Each has their own unique language. Each one is playing a special role to achieve his goal, task, and work. Failure to meet the audience needs, the audience being anyone outside your group, will result in ineffective communication. So somewhere you need to have appropriate communication among the two so that then what is communicated to others will be effective. To improve horizontal communication, knowing the audience is essential for speakers. When speaking laterally to a group outside the speaker's knowledge base, it requires making adjustments so as to best reach out to the audience. Say if two people are speaking to the investors, then the two people should be effectively coordinating with each other so as to what they are speaking to the others. They should have effectively discussed the points as to what ideally should be said and not said. They should effectively discuss with each other how and who's going to start, how does one end, is anything exceptional in terms of information to be given. Avoiding unfamiliar terms does not mean dumbing down your speech. It does mean to say it in the simplest way, with the greatest economy of words, to end up with the same meaning as a more scientific or technological expression. Audiences on the whole cannot absorb as much information as we give out. To give more than can be retained is like giving a drink of water to someone from a full 5-gallon bucket and you, the speaker, holding the bucket. When we talk ideally of giving information, whom are you speaking to? Depending on that, how much information do you wish to give? Proper pronunciation is not only a courtesy to extend, without it, you could lose the respect of your audience. Do not just say whatever the pronunciation is. A lot depends on you as a speaker, or in some other way, gloss over it. Do not really ideally mull over it or say, oh, it's okay, because you need to be very clear with what you're saying. If you do not know, simply ask and learn how to say it. That is if you're a professional. Coherence is essential because this is how our minds work. When I talk of coherence, information given in a logical manner, information going systematically. To jump around or jump in with an audience that does not speak the same technical language will only serve to frustrate and confuse. Do not use words which will confuse the audience. Do not beat around the bush when you talk to the audience. Each thought needs to connect with the next coherently to have good lateral communication. Clear speech, fluency. Are you fluent with that language? That means, do the words and thoughts flow? Pausing and gestures all can play an important role in improving lateral communication. See, the two people are talking to the investors. When one stops, the other one starts. They don't speak together. Pausing after asking a question to the audience. Letting the words flow. Appropriate gestures while communicating with the audience. For example, appropriate eye contact, little movement of the hands, very appropriate posture. So all these aspects are important. Diagonal communication. Communication that takes place between a manager and employees of other work groups is called diagonal communication. It generally does not appear on organizational chart. For example, to design a training module, a training manager interacts with operations personnel to inquire about the way they perform their task. So when you talk of diagonal communication between managers and employees of other work groups, that means you're a manager for this and you're talking with people of another work group. New entrants to the organizations communicate with managers of other departments when they're deputed on a familiarization training program before they take up regular work. So the production manager talking to the people of marketing team. So that's what they say, diagonal, something which is opposite. Now, what happens in this kind of communication? When you talk of diagonal communication, it is ideally to see per se the effectiveness of the people who are going to be in the, say in this case, a production manager talking to the people of the marketing team, who are going to be in the marketing team, how effective they are with their skills in terms of marketing.